The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Bob is the ace extraordinaire producer engineer of the Buckmaster Show. Bob and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on our midweek edition, March 27th, 2019. It's Buckmaster. It has been Buckmaster during the noon hour through since 2011 when we started. So we're going to start doing that since, you know, you see some of these businesses that kind of heritage businesses in business since like yesterday or whatever. No, so since Buckmaster, since 2011, but actually Buckmaster in Tucson since 1988. So there you go. So the Buckmaster brand in Tucson has been around for a while now, 1988. Anyway, it is Buckmaster on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts make it real easy for you to hear this program. A lot of people do listen to the podcast, and they're available for you on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. The first half hour of the program, we'll be talking with our TUSD school superintendent, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo comes on the program every other month. Then coming up at 12:30, David Layton, the Street Smarts columnist. He's a very popular columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. I've already had maybe a half dozen ideas for David to address that were on my Facebook page. So you can still send those along to my Facebook page. You can also give us a call at 12:30 and speak to David directly if you have any questions about the origin of your particular street. Let's go now on the live line. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us. He's had a horrible day, but he's had a very busy day, and he's on the road, and he's with us now on the live line. Dr. Trujillo, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. It's great to be back on the Bill Buckmaster Show, and I am on my southwestern swing of the vast Tucson Unified School District. Had some great school visits this morning at Warren Elementary and at BC, one of our strongest K-8 schools here in the southwest corner of the district, BC Elementary. So, yeah, it's been a very, very wonderful morning connecting with students and staff and seeing all the great things going on in these wonderful southwestern school communities.
Have you been to every school in the TUSD portfolio?
I have. This is the third year now that I have been able to get in and see all 88 schools. So it's just been an absolutely wonderful experience just getting out there and seeing all of the amazing things that go on, all of the amazing programs and all of the amazing work that our teachers do at every single corner of the district, whether it's out there at the foothills of Sabino Canyon in the east or out here in the southwestern sector here at BC Elementary.
It's a pretty big footprint for this district, isn't it, Dr. Trujillo?
It is. It is. The district is vast. It is a absolutely humongous task in terms of scheduling to be able to get out here and spend. And the school visits are usually about 90 minutes. Hmm. So my job as superintendent is really to get as close to the classroom as possible, to see and feel the teacher experience, to see and feel the custodial experience, the bus driver experience, because that really guides my policy making, my decision making. And from a leadership perspective, you always want to make sure that you have a strong understanding of what our practitioners are experiencing at the site level. And the visits really help me do that.
What is your enrollment as far as employees? Not talking about students now. We're talking about everybody who has an association with Tucson Unified. What are the numbers?
We're just over 8,000 total employees. When you add up our teachers and you add up the bus drivers and the food service and everything that's going on, So yeah, we're up there. I mean, we're one of the city of Tucson. I believe we're number four now.
Wow.
In terms of one of the we're definitely one of the top five largest employers in the city of Tucson.
I wanted to ask you, at these meetings, these 90-minute sessions, meet and greet, is there a theme that emerges from when you do the questions? Do you hear something over and over during these meetings from the practitioners of the district?
Oh, absolutely. Top of the list is capital funding. Every classroom that I walk, every teacher that I connect with, every principal that I meet with, they are able to instantly show me two or three places at their school that are just totally dilapidated and in need of assistance, whether it's a roof issue or whether it's a room where the air condition has failed or whether they're portable buildings that don't have any air. It is literally every school that I go to. And that kind of speaks to the larger issue that the district faces with regard to the legislature's release of increased funding for capital projects. The second thing that our teachers continue to be vocal about are class sizes and classroom disciplinary conditions. So though I see many, many wonderful classrooms, our teachers work very, very hard with situations in which they have 25 to 30 students. And sometimes that presents challenges with classroom management and classroom discipline. So asking for those additional supports, lower student-to-counselor ratios, more support for instructional assistance in the classrooms, smaller class sizes, I think those are really the two most predominant themes that I continue to hear as I walk the district's classrooms.
Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Your name was on the agenda, not at last night's meeting, but the weekend before. You were an agenda item, Dr. Trujillo, and the subject was whether or not the Tucson Unified Governing Board, the five-member board, should give you a new contract, which had, and the vote was unanimous. That's got to be very gratifying for you for another 2 years, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, I am just humbled and I am honored to serve this community. I am an Arizona native, so for me it's very special to be blessed with the privilege to serve in Arizona's second largest school system. And two, the governing board's 5-0 vote is a reflection of the community. I think our board is really strongly in touch with their constituents, with the voters. And that 5-0 vote is a result of conversations. It's a result of when they go out to schools and when they go out to visit and when they touch base with voters and residents and hearing positive things about not just Gabriel Trujillo, but about the district. And for me, that 5-0 vote is a reflection of the community's confidence that the district, though the work is not done and the district not being perfect, but the district is moving forward. We were able for the first time in 5 years to be able to bring the classroom dollar percentage over 51%. That means something to the taxpayers. That means something to the voters and the parents and the community. The TUSD, they're trending upwards in terms of the amount of money that they're spending in the classroom. For the first time, being able to open up the school year and not have over 100 teacher vacancies. We're still far away from perfect, but to be able to open up the school year and have fewer than one vacancy per school, you know, clocking in at 84 vacancies, that means progress. And of course, lastly, being able to show the public that a quarter of this district's schools showed significant academic improvement in terms of being able to raise their letter grade. So I think when you look at the entire context of the body of the work that our team and our teachers have been able to do over the last couple of years, it points to some confidence that the district, though not done, is generally headed in the right direction. So for me, I'm excited to continue the work here for another couple of years.
Dr. Trujillo served as the district's interim superintendent for nearly a year before he became the full-time superintendent. I think that was important, that one-year period, don't you, that interim period?
I think that was extremely important because for that year, it is literally about taking care of what I call the urgent and the important. We heard very loudly in that year that the code of conduct needed to go, and that it needed to be revised, and we needed a new one. We knew that we needed to get that done. We heard very loudly that year from the taxpayers, the voters, and even our employees, 48% classroom spending. That's not tolerable. We don't want to be the district that can't put two quarters of every dollar directly into the classroom. And lastly, we heard very loudly that one third of our district being classified as DRF rated, that's just not going to cut it. That we're not going to be the premier K-12 option in the city of Tucson when you have a 30-year system that's clocking in as a DRF rated. So we had some three really urgent situations that we had to jump in on really, really quickly. And that's where I think that year was very, very important. And now kind of moving into my second term as superintendent, now it's that long term. It's how do we move forward towards excellence? How do we now capitalize on the progress to start to transition from getting us out of the weeds, getting us out of the hole in terms of academic achievement or discipline, and now having us systemically build a systemic strategic plan, build for the future so we have a long-range plan to be the permanent choice for the city of Tucson with regard to K-12 instruction.
All right, Dr. Trujillo will stick around for another segment. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, Dr. Trujillo will give us an update on what is being done to stop the bleeding, if you will, of enrollment at TUSD. We'll get an update from him on that particular subject. But right now, Dr. Trujillo knows what I'm going to bring up. In fact, if he was in the Mona's area, I'm sure he'd be going by right now for a great sandwich at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Coming soon, we are so excited about the news that owner and chief baker Steve has made this commitment. And it's a financial commitment. Make no bones about it. It's he's putting money into the grill, and they'll be up and running a week or two now with the hot breakfast at Mona's Danish Bakery. They'll be open at 6:30 to get that all of your eggs, omelets, whatever you want on the grill. So that's coming to Mona's Danish Bakery. You can find out more about their wonderful bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, at monasdanishbakery.com. Also at buckmastershow.com. We're very proud of the sponsors that we have on this program. There's about two dozen partners that believe and support this program, and they're all listed. All of their logos, and there's links to all of them at buckmastershow.com. So you might want to check that out, along with the two dozen contributors, all of their bios, people that appear regularly on this program. There's even a gallery section. Folks know I like to travel. We've got pictures from all over the world, even that picture with me and Dan Rather. There it is, Bob. Bob's clicking on it right now. Taken in the Galapagos Islands, ran into Mr. Rather. He was on a shoot. That's been about 10 years ago, that picture with me and Dan Rather. But I had a great chat with him, had a cocktail with Mr. Rather, talked. It was fun, a lot to talk about. So there's all sorts of stuff at buckmastershow.com. We'll be back with Dr. Trujillo right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We've been with you during the noon hour since 2011. Matt has called us at 790-2040. Matt would like to weigh in on our conversation with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, the school superintendent at Tucson Unified. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, first of all, Bill's your website is the most useful thing I've told people. If they ever want to know anything about what's going on in Pima County, go to your website and you can look and see all the information about who you want to listen to.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, very useful. Second thing is, Dr. Trujillo, I think you've done an excellent job as a first-term superintendent and interim or otherwise. You've laid the groundwork. Everybody seems to compliment you. Obviously, you guys are talking the bleeding with regards to the students, but I'm more concerned about the status of the lawsuit ongoing between Pima County and the state that's going to affect your revenue. Do you have any word from that you can share with us about the status between the state lawsuit that basically is between Pima County over taxes? And what it means to your budget in the very near future. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's an excellent question. That's on everybody's mind. So really, big picture, the goal for my second term and for our administration's second term is the biggest gift that we can give Tucson Unified, the taxpayers and the community members, is to end court supervision as quickly as possible. And we do that through what I call aggressive compliance, not aggressive contention. We aggressively comply with a court order. So when the court order says do A, B, or C, we do A, B, C, D, E, and F to make sure that we can close the order out. Now, that strategy is translated into us being released from half of the 52 provisions of the court order. And we fully plan on applying to be relieved from this court order in a calendar year. Now, within the backdrop of this overall plan, you've got this lawsuit, okay? And you've got the lawsuit because the legislature, in the last budget session, effectively moved the tax levy that we use locally here to raise the desegregation funds from the primary rate to the secondary rate. And that's a big no-no, because any levy coming out of the secondary tax rate, that's a ballot initiative. I mean, that's your bonds, that's your overrides. That goes out for ballot. Voters weigh in whether or not they want to agree to that levy. And that's the rub. That's the rub here in Pima County, is that was not a ballot initiative. That was legislatively mandated. And that's what has prompted the lawsuit with Pima County and TUSD, or Tucson Unified, joining together, joining forces, if you will, and essentially suing the legislature. Now, where we are with that, we filed the lawsuit. We are headed for tax court. We so far do not have a timeline into when our court or the case is going to be heard. We've done everything that we can at this point to file a motion, to file with the tax court. It's pending review. We've got some upcoming meetings where we'll be reaching out to Pima County to see if they have a better read on when our case is going to be heard. What's at stake is about $16 million that we need to be able to comply with this case, with the remainder of what we're required to do. The danger is, if this doesn't get resolved in the next, I want to say 10 months, 8 to 10 months, we are severely hampered with our ability to implement the programs and the requirements that's needed for us to fully apply for release from court supervision. And it can open up a doorway to keep us under court supervision longer. So we will be very aggressive and very assertive with the tax court to make sure that our case is prioritized and that we are on the docket as quickly as possible.
Dr. Gabriel Trujillo with us on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. During his visit in January, Superintendent Trujillo announced a twofold approach to basically stop the bleed of students leaving the district. The twofold approach required recruiting new students, but more importantly, requires the district to take a more hands-on approach to student retention. Let's get an update now, just a few months later, since he made that announcement first on our program. Where are we with this approach?
So really now we're past the conceptual. So the last time I was on the program, you know, we're conceptually talking about recruiting more students, and we're conceptually talking about hands-on. What hands-on means is the district no longer just kind of waiting for students to walk through the door, but really taking a look at the very, very structure of the district that could be contributing to enrollment loss and smashing that structure down and building a new one. And that structure is middle schools. And I am on a very aggressive tour of meeting with as many neighborhood associations as I can throughout the city of Tucson that reside in Tucson Unified Borders, meeting with as many focus groups as I can. And inevitably, I'll be getting in front of the board about the concept of redoing grades 6, 7, and 8, because that is where we see the greatest amount of enrollment loss, is at that fifth grade year, when the parents, who are generally happy with their elementary experience, hesitant to trust a Tucson Unified middle school. And we see these families opting for charters and opting for private schools and opting for neighboring districts. So we have a vision of potentially rolling and rethinking the way that we do grades 6, 7, 8, and looking at a scenario where elementary schools become K-6, and our big giant middle schools that seem to have so many of our parents uneasy, we start to have those middle schools become 7, 8 junior highs, where we can offer way smaller class sizes, significantly smaller class sizes, bring on more electives, and be able to give our teachers the breathing room that they need to work with what I believe is really one of the most crucial age groups in the entire system, 7th and 8th grade. I think if we do this, I think we can significantly increase enrollment, and I think we can make a better, more well-rounded freshman walking into the district's high school. So that is a hands-on approach that we are going to be proposing. And then the second thing is structure the way that we do enrollment at the schools. this summer, we're going to be putting in what we call enrollment specialists in every single one of our schools. So that way, from Memorial Day all the way through the middle of July, instead of parents going to their neighborhood schools or going to the schools they want to enroll in and seeing a closed building, now for the first time, we're going to have the building staffed. We're going to have enrollment specialists that will be there greeting parents, walking them through the process, making sure that our families are enrolled as quickly as possible, because barriers are created for potential customers when they go to the school of choice and it's closed. And then the requirement is you have to travel downtown to 1010 to sign up for that school. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to do that. That chases customers away.
Yes, it does.
So that is a hands-on. That's the district sticking. That's our team sticking our hands in and saying, nope, we're not going to do that, because it's not just about the students that you can bring in. It's also about the students that your current structure, the families that your current structure are actually chasing away.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be very ambitious about. So it's going to be a year and a half long project working with our governing board, our neighborhood associations, our families, our parents, our teachers, our administrators, all the stakeholders inside of the desegregation process to get the buy-in to ambitiously roll out this middle school reform for the 2021 school year.
All right, we'll hear more about that and the summer plans for Tucson Unified when Dr. Trujillo visits with us the first week in May, which just right around the corner now, the end of the school year coming up. Dr. Trujillo, thank you very much. Coming up Friday, we talk more about TUSD. Our Friday Focus interview will be Adelita Grijalva, longtime member of the TUSD Governing Board. She will be with me in studio along with Tim Steller and Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. So a very deep dive more into TUSD Friday at noon. Dr. Trujillo, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill. It's always wonderful to be here, and I look forward to being back in that new beautiful studio in my next appearance in May.
Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. Dr. Trujillo with us coming up next. Our number is 790-2040. If you want to speak with David Layton, he writes the very popular Street Smarts column at the Arizona Daily Star. I've already had some response on my Facebook page, folks with questions about the street they live in. People wonder, what about the origin of the name? I live in the Fletcher Caeta area. What does that mean? I'm going to ask David about that. Fletcher Caeta in the foothills. So 790-2040. Let's take the break. We'll come back. David's here. He'll be in studio, and then we'll talk with him about streets and names and all of that stuff. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Green Things, my goodness, not only all of your amazing plants, trees, annuals there now, all that great furniture at Zocalo. So Zocalo, which was for years over by Country Club and Broadway, it's now part of the Green Things over at 3384 East River Road. Check it out. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. So you've got Zocalo, there's like a Zocalo Village. There's five freestanding buildings that are part of Green Things. So it's a great destination in itself. Green Things since 1970. It's the Buckmaster Show since 2011 with you here during the noon hour. David Layton is with us, very popular columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. His Street Smarts column runs the first, is it the first Monday of the month, David?
Bill, that's correct. It runs the first Monday of every month is when a new one comes out.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you again. It's always a popular feature of the Buckmaster Show. People are curious about how the origin of the name on the street where they live or the subdivision. So there's never a shortage of material for you, is there?
No, I mean there's an excessive amount of material. I mean, and new subdivisions are going up on like the southeast side of town, Oral Valley and stuff like that. So new streets are actually being named all the time. So yeah, there's more than enough to have. You know, I'll never run out of street names.
What's this project you're involved with right now with K-Gun 9 and Big Al?
So about a month ago, I mean, you and I have talked a little bit about A.F. Sterling Homes. Randy and the guys over there, Rob and John and stuff like that. So they asked me to name a couple streets on a new subdivision on land they bought on Prince Road and Tucson Boulevard. After doing a little research, I found that the property was owned by the Ronstadts. The original Ronstadts, Fred and Lupe Ronstadt, had bought the land back in the early 1920s, and the Ronstadts had lived there up until the 2000s. You know, I had a chance to talk to Big Al from Channel 9, KGAT 9, and I mentioned that I named some street names, and we went out there, and he decided to do a little bit of recording of what it was. At that point, the homes were in rubble. There was three homes and a garage. They were all in rubble, but he went out there and filmed me. I think one of the also Ronstadt's grandsons was out there as well, walking around, stuff like that. So we did some filming and just talked about some of the history of the property itself. So that's actually, I think, in the editing phase at Channel 9 is where it's at this point here. And I think it comes out probably in a couple weeks. It'll be on Channel 9. I think it'll be KGUN9.com is the website to go to check it out. And they'll probably air it as well, I would imagine. But I know it'll be on their website as well.
So the new street names will be named Fred Ronstadt, and then there'll be Loopy Ronstadt. Is that right? Or
well, it's actually, it's in Spanish. It's Corte de Federico.
Okay.
So Fred's real name was Federico Jose Maria Ronstadt.
Okay.
So I named it, there was already a Fred Street, so I decided to name it Federico, which was his full name, which is actually Spanish for Frederick, which is the name of his father, who was a German engineer who had traveled to Mexico. So that's one street, and then Calle de Lupe, which is Lupe Street in Spanish, is named for his wife, Lupe Dalton Ronstadt. So those were the original Ronstadts that came to Tucson back, or Fred came at least anyway in the 1800s, and then Lupe, I think, was born in Tucson around the time. So those are the two new street names that are coming up. The A.F. Sterling Homes is just starting to kind of build the property at this point here, but I did have the fun opportunity of walking the layout of the streets. It's all dirt at this point, but they've kind of done the layout of the street, so I kind of walked the streets that I named.
All right, 790-2040, David Layton is with us. If you'd like to ask a question about the origin of your street, I've got all sorts of Facebook requests of folks would like me to ask you questions about their particular area. Do you have any idea about Pigeonberry? It's kind of an unusual name, isn't it?
No, I can't. I can't say
Pigeonberry.
A lot of people will send me requests or email requests on their particular small street name. My focus to a large degree has been on the bigger streets just because there's about 4,000 to 5,000 different street names in Tucson. It's growing. So that I do not, know that one.
Yeah, this one just came in. It's a good question. Valencia and Irvington, David Layton. And if there's any connection to the Yaqui Nation, what do you think about that?
So Valencia Road is almost certainly either named after the Valencia family that owned a ranch on Valencia Road way far out west, or it's named after Valencia, Spain. I believe, and I've heard people tell me, oh, it's named after the family that owned the ranch, but based on the limited lease research I've done on Valencia Road, I believe it was actually named by Phil Constant, who was a surveyor and land developer, and because he did develop a property there just south of what's currently called Valencia Road, and he named all the streets after cities in Spain. Now, Phil Constance, I think it was his mother, his mother's like parents were from Spain.
Okay.
So I have a feeling it's actually named from Valencia, Spain, versus the Valencia family that had the Valencia ranch.
And Irvington?
Irvington, I don't think anyone even knows that. My best guess on that would be, and it's just a guess, is that back in the early 1920s, where Irvington, about the Irvington-Santa Cruz area alignment, there was a family called the Irvings. And Tun, T-O-N, I think means town, or it's an old...
yeah, town.
Yeah, like, and they owned quite a bit, from what I've heard. Again, this is some oral history of Holland, years back, is that they owned quite a bit of property, and so the idea was conceived that they had like a little town. I don't know how truthful that is or not. I've never, just something that I've heard. You know, this is back in the 20s. These people are probably long gone. I doubt there's any family members in Tucson. At least I've never heard of any, but that, so that's just what I've heard.
Is there any connection that you would think of to the Yaqui Nation?
With those two streets? Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. I know there's an area, I think it's called the New Yaqui Village. I believe it is. Uh-huh. And those streets are named after, I can't think of the names off the top of my head, but they're actually named after things from their homeland. So their homeland basically is in Sonora,
right,
along the river there. And the names that they came up with for the New Yaqui Village, if that's the name is correct, is related to things from Sonora, Mexico.
Okay.
So
David Layton is with us. I've got all sorts of other questions on Facebook, and you can join us 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to call in on the live line. David, I guess you like chocolate. You better, because you're going to be one of the celebrity judges at the Tucson Taste of Chocolate. This is a charity event on April 7th.
Correct. So the Rincon Rotary Club puts on their big fundraiser to help elementary schools and elementary school teachers once a year. It's held, or this year at least, it's held Sunday, April 7th. It's at the Doubletree Inn on Alvernon Way across from Randolph Golf Course. And what it is essentially is every year they go out and recruit some of the best chocolatiers in Tucson, or restaurants that serve chocolate desserts or dishes. And they bring them together in a ballroom at the Doubletree. And what the way it works is basically that, you know, the public comes in, I think it's around 2 o'clock, if I remember correctly, and it's $15 a ticket. You get to come around and you get to try different chocolate from different different samples, mm-hmm. From different restaurants.
And what's the charity that this goes to?
Well, it's the Rincon Foundation, which donates money to elementary school teachers.
Okay.
So the way it works is if an elementary school teacher has like a special project, let's say they want to, I'm just coming up with mm-hmm. one here, but if they want to say take their kids to, I don't know, Arizona Sonora Desert Museum or something like that, but they don't have funding through the school, then they can apply at the Rincon Foundation through the Rotary Club. And, you know, they're given grants if it's approved. So that's where the money comes from. As far as the celebrity judges this year, now, I'm actually the recruiter for the celebrity judges, so I'm actually the one judge that comes back every year. Some of the judges we have this year, Don Guerra, owner and baker of Barrio Bread. We've got Whitney Clark from K-Gun 9. Dino, he's from Rock 102.1 KFMA. Chris P, 97.5, the Vibe DJ. We've got Buzz Jackson from Kim FM. Andrew Brown, who's from Arizona Public Media. Big Al, of course, as mentioned earlier. We've got also Sheriff Mark Napier. Okay, and Senator Dennis Dickinson.
All right, we'll have more with David Layton. We'll talk about one of his most famous columns about Tom Duck and Three Ducks Way. What in the world was that? We'll talk to David Layton about the meaning of Three Ducks Way. 790-2040. Any questions for David Layton, the columnist for Street Smarts, right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a nice visit. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, how about a three-hour drive, not too bad, over to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States? Have you been to the Gila National Monument, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument? What a beautiful place, especially this time of year, with the wildflowers blooming in the high country. Boy, it's a can't-miss getaway weekend. SouthwestNewMexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. David Layton is with us. He is doing the monthly column for Street Smarts. The column really originated in 2012 at the Arizona Daily Star, very popular feature that he does, and it now appears once a month. David, we had a Facebook question from Evelyn. What about Gibbons Mountain Place? Do you know anything about Gibbons Mountain?
Gibbons Mountain is actually a mountain in the Santa Catalina Mountain Range. The only connection I know, there was actually a Gibbons Ranch at the bottom of the mountain. So likely whoever owned that ranch would be probably who the mountain is named for. And then the street name is Gibbons Mountain's Place. I believe the street name was named by one of the Estes. I believe it was Bill Estes Jr. who named that subdivision. And because there's two or three subdivisions where all the names are derived from place names in the Santa Catalina Mountains. January's Street Smarts was on Mercer Spring, which is named after a rancher named Del Mercer, who owned his ranch was up there on Molino Basin, and he used that spring up there. So that was actually January's Street Smarts that I did.
Let's talk about your column that goes all the way back to 2013, right?
2012. So it's been running for about 7 years. Now.
And the column that you did about the Duck, Tom S. Duck Sr., and kind of an unusual place name. What is it called? Three Ducks?
Well, in Spanish, it's Via Tres Patos, so it's Three Ducks Way.
Three Ducks Way.
it's a tiny street. Mm-hmm. If you take Sabino Canyon all the way up to almost where it ends, past the Sabino Canyon itself, it hits like Rudisill, and there's this tiny little street called Three Ducks Way. And it got its name because Tom Duck, just give you a little background on Tom Duck Sr., he was actually born in 1913 in Indianapolis. He came out to Tucson to attend the University of Arizona, ended up marrying a cousin of Arizona Governor Sidney P. Osborne. Her name was Junia, I think is how you pronounce it, Foster. They ended up getting married in, I think it was about 35, 36 there. And he did quite a few different jobs, contracting, building, and stuff like that. He ended up moving from California back to Tucson in the 1970s. And one day in 1977, he was looking at the family cars outside his window. He had retired at this point. And he came up with the idea for the old Ugly Duckling rent-a-car. So it's kind of funny, you know. So he's looking at these old cars and he's thinking, you know, what can I do with myself? He was one of those guys that had to be doing something. And he decided that, you know, he would come up with a rent-a-car system where he rented old cars. So while the other companies were renting like new cars and stuff like that, he came with the idea. So he did a $10,000 investment. He bought 10 used cars. His most expensive one was a 1973 AMC Hornet.
Oh, my
anyone
goodness.
Remembers those classics?
A Hornet.
Yeah, AMC's, you know, yeah. not even around anymore, right, but right. it was a Hornet. Yeah. It cost him $1,250. And he was actually started renting cars at $4.95 per day.
They grew to a big, they had 600 franchises then at one point.
At one point, they were the fifth largest car rental firm in the United States.
Wow.
And this all started in Tucson by Tom Duck looking out at his old car and conceiving the idea here in Tucson, of all places.
Hmm.
So that's kind of the, and what happened with the street name is essentially he had bought the land. Back around in the 70s. Well, eventually his son had built a home, and then his daughter Carolyn built a home, and so they called it Three Ducks Way because there was three ducks living, or three ducks homes living on that street.
Three ducks on the street. David, let's go to another question from a caller. Caller Richard asked about Como, C-O-M-O, off Moore Road. Do you have any idea about that?
Well, you know, I know where Moore Road is, but Como, I don't know. The only thing that pops in my head would be Lake Como, but I don't know. I've never researched that street name, so I don't have, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Richard, I don't have an answer for you.
And we had quite a few others here on Facebook. Don't really want to put you on the spot because we kind of talked during the break. You weren't really familiar with some of these. As you said, there are how many streets in
Tucson?
Well,
I mean, what I was told actually about 3 or 4 years ago is there was about 4,000 to 5,000 different street names in greater Tucson.
4,000 to 5,000
Right.
Ones.
And I usually take up one street name at a time and research it. So that's why I had the tendency of doing what's very, very popular, mm-hmm. Which is kind of odd street names like Via Tres Patos. You know, it's a tiny street in the middle of nowhere, but it's funny. So people like will email me about it. Or I'll take on a lot of the bigger street names just because those are very, very popular. So I tend to go with what readers want as a general rule. So it's kind of interesting because yesterday I was actually looking at Mount Guthrie Place, which is actually which is very similar to Gibbons that we just talked about there.
Yeah.
I mean, just happened to do a little odd research off of it last night, and It was apparently named for a forest ranger named John D. Guthrie.
Hmm.
So that's at least what I've read. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Because he had come here in 1908 into Arizona to take over as a head of a forest ranger. But I found a 1904 map that shows Mount Guthrie already on there.
Okay.
So not really sure if that's correct or
just
not.
Just about out of time, David. What's your next column going to be on?
So the next column coming
up in 1st of April, next week, right?
Yeah, I think it's the first Monday of every month. So
yes.
I believe it's next week. Actually, I interviewed a developer here in town called Jerry DeGracia, distant relative of Ted DeGracia, the famous artist. And he named quite a few streets after stuff related to Fort Lowell, the old fort, and then some stuff up there on the north side. So it's actually DeGracia's street names is what's coming up there. So I'd like to interview developers and get a bunch of street names.
And we'll look for your article about the famous Arizona photographer Ray Manley in Arizona Highways magazine. We don't have an issue yet for that one, do we?
No, actually I just submitted it to Arizona Highways. But if everything goes through, it should come out in September on the famous photographer Ray Manley, September issue of Arizona Highways magazine.
Okay, David Layton, always a pleasure. And if people have questions for you, what's the best way to reach you? Through your email?
Yeah, just email me. The email that's available is azjournalist21@gmail.com. So again, azjournalist21@gmail.com.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up next, Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball. His very popular sports show from 1 to 3. And I like that where they talk gibberish, the gibberish segment of the Rivera show with Bob Dio, who did a great job, as usual, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.